and welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry. Psalm 89 tells us that God will not allow his faithfulness or his covenant to fail. In the New Testament, Jesus' death and resurrection now makes the new covenant available to all of us who believe. And in this week's message, Pastor Edward Anderson ministers on the subject, I have been given a covenant with God. This powerful message will really bless you, so listen close, and I'll talk to you at the end of the broadcast.
So, Father, once again, I just come before your presence. I thank you for the awesome power of speaking before your people. And you said the word should come forth, God, to edify, to enrich, and prepare them for the work of their ministry. So now I pray the Holy Spirit would take complete and sovereign control over everything that I say today. And I pray the word may be anchored in their souls, God, and become a rhema, living, active, and vibrant in their lives right now. But I'm asking, give them a spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge in your word, God. Let their spiritual eyes be open to see the hope, the calling upon their lives. And you walk them in their divine destiny. So I thank you that right now their hearts are open to embrace your words. Their ears are open to hear your word. And then their faith is rising up now to expect from you. So I thank you, honor, and praise you right now. I declare victory in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. If you want to get ahead of me, go to Psalms 89, verse 33. How many got kids in here? Kids or grandkids? Almost everybody in here, right? I have one child, and this child got control over me somehow. I don't know how it happened. But I kind of remember when it started. It actually started when she came out the womb. And then she started to grow. She had this way of just persuading me to do certain things. She couldn't even talk. Oh, let me back up. She speaks the same language I do. Three languages. Just so you know. Broken English, tongues, and Ebonics. So if you hear Ebonics, I got Dorothy to give interpretation. So my daughter, when she was real little, if she wanted me to do something, she'd be looking at me and yabba-dabba-dabba-doo. And she expected me to interpret that, right? But then she would say yabba-dabba-doo, she'd point. So then she learned sign language. She'd point, do this, do this. I found myself in a pit of balls. You know those ball pits the little kids have? I'm a big old 6-foot dude, 200 pounds in the ball pit trying to get through there. And then when she'd be in her room crying, I would go up, go to her room. I don't want to hold her all day because then she gets spoiled, right? Did you see that commercial when the man hops over into the crib and gets in there with the baby? That was me. That was me. That was me. So I'll lay down there with her and wake up in the morning all like this. But she had some control over me. And as she was growing and developing as a young adult, she's a teenager now, she still convinced me of certain things. So she said, Daddy, this is what I want to be in my future. I want to be an actress and a model. Hallelujah. I'm going to support you in that, baby. But Daddy, I want you to go with me and help me out a little bit. What does that mean? I want you to do it too. Now, when I was younger, I wanted to do that too. How many of you remember the movie The Mac? Remember The Mac? Okay, let me see how good you guys are. It was a pimp in that movie, right? What was his name? Goldie. Remember Goldie? Okay, see, she know The Mac. But there was a little kid in that scene. Remember that little kid in the scene? And he said, I don't be like you, Goldie. That was my role. But guess what? My mama said, boy, you ain't been in no kind of pimp movie at all. So that was in my act, and I said, forget it, I ain't doing it. But then my daughter said, Dad, come on, you can do it. Just do it. So she convinced me. So one time we went out, we had a photo shoot together. I said, it was okay, but I didn't really like it. She said, come on, Dad, do it again. Do it again. I said, okay, Leah. Lily, I can do it with you then. So this past week, someone called me for a movie shoot. I'm like, Lord, I really don't want to do this. I don't. But I'm going to support my daughter, so I go out there, and I'm on set, mad as a firecracker, because she talked me into it. So I'm out there on the set, and I'm sitting there kind of lost, not knowing what to do. And I guess everybody knows I was lost. So when you lost some time and ignorant about things, the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Yes. He'll send somebody your way to help you out. Yes. Yeah, it is real. So this guy looked at me and said, you been here before? I said, man, this is my first time on set. He said, don't worry. I'm going to tell you how to do everything. This man walked me through the whole process. I was like, look at God. God is incredible. And the more he talked to me, I was like, oh, okay, I may be able to do this. Then he said something to me, and it kind of got me angry. He said, your role and my role are the same role, but I'm getting paid more than you. Okay, back up a little bit. Rewind the tape. He said, no. The reason why is because the contract says that. I said, what contract? He said, the contract says that I get paid more because I'm in the union and you're not. I said, what union? He said, this thing called SAG. Screen Actors Guild. I said, okay, talk to me some more. Talk to me some more, baby. Talk to me some more. I need to know how to do this. So he walked me through the process. So I said, okay, Lord, I see where you're trying to take me. I'm thinking I'm to support my daughter, but God got sometimes a detour in your life and in my life. Contracts. Negotiating contracts. How many got a home in here? Got a home. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but when they put those loan documents in front of me, I was so excited, I was just signing. Ooh, I was just signing my little life away. But let me ask you a question. How many read them loan documents from beginning to end? Good. That's rare. That's very rare. Because there's some stuff in there we don't know about. Read the contract. Read the contract. And this is NBA negotiating time for the NBA players. Y'all see them contracts they're getting? Money. I'm like, Lord, I'm in the wrong business. Too short. Contracts. You know, God didn't make a contract with us. He made a covenant. And sometimes we want to equate a contract with a covenant. If you look at Webster Dictionary, you will like I would be, it looks synonymous. It'll say covenant, then it'll say contract or agreement. But God didn't tell us to go to Webster's to tell us what he meant. He said, go to his word. Yes. You should be at Psalms 83 by now. We're going to walk through this thing together. Amen. I say 89?
Yeah.
And 83, something good there too. Read that later on when you get home. Psalms 89, I apologize. Psalms 89. You there?
Yes.
Beginning in verse 33, it says, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to do what? Fail. Operative verse. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. God said, I will not break my covenant. I can't break my covenant. You know why I can't? Because in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, God is not a man. You can stop right there alone. See, God is not a man that he should lie.
Amen.
Neither the son of man that he should repent. Key. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, And shall he not make it good? God cannot lie. His covenant he can't break, nor alter any part of his contract he's given us, his covenant. Now, I want to give you a contrast between a covenant and a contract. A covenant versus a contract. Now, I put down four general characteristics you'll see in a contract. The first one is contracts are often made for a limited period of time. Contracts often deal with specific actions. This one I really like. Contracts are based on an if-then mentality. If you do this, then I'll do this. It's based on an if-then mentality. And contracts are motivated by the desire to get something. Now, covenant is different. It also, I've only put down four characteristics. Covenants are initiated for the benefit of the other person. In covenant relationships, people make unconditional promises. I said unconditional promises. Baby, I'll clean up if you do this for me. Unconditional promises are in a covenant. Covenant relationships are based on steadfast love. Not the kind that vacillates. When everything is good, then I love you, baby. But when it's bad, I can't stand you, baby. Steadfast love. And covenant relationships view commitments as permanent. Permanent. There's nothing you can do today that's going to break your relationship with God. Y'all missed that one. I said, there's nothing you do today, tomorrow, next year will break your relationship with God. Because that's a permanent relationship. Well, think about your own family. If you have a kid, even if that kid was wayward, it's always connected to your name. It can never be broken in relationship-wise. The fellowship can be broken, but the relationship is eternal. It's always going to be there. Even when Adam messed up, God said, Adam, where are you? He was still going out after his number one creation, Adam. Even though he messed up. Because a covenant is permanent. He said, while you and I was goofing up, yet in sin, he died for us. So what did you have to do with this covenant? Just say yes to Jesus. Because God authored the covenant. If he'd authored it, he's going to finish it. This is the confidence that we have in him. You should have the work that he begun in you, he's going to finish it. You can run, you can hide, but he's going to get you. I was in hot pursuit from God. I was going the opposite way from God. Grew up in church. I said, Lord, I don't mind serving, but being this preacher thing, you got the wrong one. So I ran this way, hit a wall, ran that way. The same wall was there too. And then I ran that way, hit that wall. Because God's plan, purpose, and destiny can't be altered. You're going to try to, and every detour you try to go through, it's going to put you back on the same road, the straight and narrow path they're trying to get you on from the beginning. So God's covenant is permanent. He's fixed on loving you. I said he's fixed on loving you. Now I want you to repeat after me, say, the power of covenant relationships One more time. The power of covenant relationships. The power of covenant relationships. The blood covenant is the oldest covenant practice in human history. It is the foundation of the Christian faith. The covenant is the platform for experiencing and receiving the benefits of Christ's redemptive works. He redeemed you, y'all. He bought you back. So what is covenant? Well, by definition, not Webster's, but God's word, covenant is an agreement between two people in which everything they own is equally shared and owned by both. Let me say that again. Covenant is an agreement between two people in which everything they own is equally shared and owned by both. Whether there's assets, talents, benefits, or strengths, or on the other hand, it can be problems, challenges, or weaknesses. In covenant relationship, two lives become one. All they have or possess is available to each other on demand. I like to say this. With my wife and I, the first one to the bank gets the money. All they have or possess is available to each other on what? On demand. The closest thing that we have to blood covenant is marriage. God intended marriage to be a blood covenant relationship. But unfortunately, in this world, we turn it into a contract. Remember, that's the difference between a covenant and a contract. Now, when you think about marriage, don't think about your marriage. Don't think about your mama and them marriage, no matter how good it may be. Think about God's perspective on marriage. Go to Mark chapter 10. Blood covenant. Mark chapter 10, verse 7. You there? Say amen. It says, verse 7, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and do what? Cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. Now, when a man and woman get married, from God's perspective, the man brings assets, he brings liabilities, talents, strengths, and hopefully, the wife brings assets, talents, strengths, and they all become one. Now, on the other side of that, the man brings weaknesses, he brings liabilities, problems, and debt. And the wife brings weaknesses, liabilities, problems, and debt. But if you're in the contract, you believe her debt isn't your debt, and vice versa. But in a covenant, it's something different. Her debt should be paid by your assets if you're in a covenant. In a covenant, if she's weak and you got some strength, she should be strong. Only in a covenant. If I got a problem and she got the answer, guess what? I got the answer now. Because we won. That's only happening, though, in covenant. Now, I don't look back when I first got married. What I brought to the relationship was squat. I had a bus pass and I had a job. My wife had a few hundred dollars in the bank and a Honda Accord. But guess what? Since we won, guess what I got now? I got a few hundred dollars in the bank and I got me a Honda Accord. Because we won. And that's the beauty of covenant. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I want to walk you through this covenant thing and show you how profound your covenant is with God if you activate it. So in 1 Samuel chapter 18, anytime you are going through a covenant, there are ceremonies you go through. Amen? Even in marriage, there's a ceremony. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, you there? It says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was what? Knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made covenant." Because he what? He loved them as his own. So the first thing, the foundation of covenant is love. The foundation of covenant is love. That's why a person who has a lot and enters into a covenant with a person that has nothing, the only motivation that they have, it has to be love. Verse 4 says, "And when the covenant partner exchanged garments, he is saying, 'All that I am and all that I possess is available to you on demand.'" Then there's an exchange of weapons, which says, "All my strength and all my power is available to you, the covenant partner. I will fight for you. Your enemies become my enemies." The third thing that happens in covenant is a change of names. Madeline Flanagan became Madeline Anderson the moment we became covenant partners. There's an exchange of names. The fourth thing, there has to be a shedding of blood to seal the covenant. Under the old covenant, it was the animal's blood. Under Abraham, it was circumcision. Under marriage, it was God's intent was for a virgin man to marry a virgin woman. On the night they consummated their marriage, there should be bloodshed, and that was a token of a new covenant being established. The covenant that God intended. In the ancient world, they would establish covenant by the man would cut his wrist and they both put wrists together. And a covenant was established. Or they would slight their hand and they would shake their hands. That's where you get to shake your hands from. And a covenant was established. There had to be shedding of blood for a covenant to be established. The last thing is, there's always a covenant meal. That's why husband and wife should always eat together. Because it's a covenant meal that involves that covenant relationship. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 9. I wrote this note here. I want to read it to you first while you get there. Amen. A covenant relationship also will impact future generations. Blood covenants are binding on both parties and their families, and under no circumstances can the covenant be broken unless one or both cease to have descendants. As long as the descendant remain in the covenant relationship, must be activated still. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Verse 3, "And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." Verse 6, "And now Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David. He fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat bread at my table," how often? Continually. Continually. Let me give you a backdrop of the historical setting there. King Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle. The moment Mephibosheth's nurse heard about that, he took the little child up and she tried to run and hide him. He was 5 years old. But as she was running, she fell and dropped the child. The child's leg somehow got broken. I don't know, it doesn't say, but he couldn't walk anymore. That's why it says he was lame on his feet. And he got lame, and he thought when King Saul was coming for him, because keep in mind, anytime a new king came in dynasty, what do? They wanted to wipe out all the old dynasty. Right. So there should not be an uprising from the other kids. So when King David showed up, Mephibosheth fell down. He's like, oh, king. But he didn't know that his daddy had a covenant with David. And David was coming to establish that covenant with Mephibosheth. Can I ask you a question? Mephibosheth was on the run too, by the way. He was running to a cave, but keep in mind, he had to come back. The king was after Mephibosheth. Is the king after you? Y'all missed that. Are you running from the king? I did. But he wants to show kindness to you for the Father's sake. Don't run from the king, run to the king. Carl, can you come in for a second? Just 1 second, please. I'm going to show you something. And I want y'all to go to Genesis chapter 15. Stand right there, Carl. Stand right there. Let me show you what a bilateral covenant looks like. Everybody knows that there was two covenants that God made. The first covenant was a covenant of the law. And nothing wrong with the law, but God knew we couldn't keep the law. So he had to send Jesus to operate under the law, and we accept him. Guess what? We operate under the law. But when a covenant partner came together, step back a little bit, Carl, what they would do when a bilateral covenant was agreed upon, he would bring animals, and I would bring animals. His animals face my animals. And then we walk through the animals, declaring God's blessing, saying that I'll do this for you, 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 I'll do this for you. I'm declaring what I'll do for him. He's declaring what he'll do for me in a bilateral covenant. That's what God did in the beginning. He said, if you do this, I'll do this. But then we'll go back and say, you know what? If you don't do this, this curse coming upon you. If you don't do this, you'll get this curse. If you don't do this, this curse coming upon you. That was a bilateral covenant that God established. But guess what? We couldn't keep it. So God said, you know what? I'm doing something totally different. I'm going to do a different kind of covenant. It's going to be an unconditional covenant. And it's going to be called unilateral covenant. Let's read the scripture. Thank you, Carl. Are you at Genesis chapter 15? Go to verse 8. You there? I'm not yet. Y'all waiting for the preacher. Here we go. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat and 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, a turtle, dove, and a pigeon, young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds he divided not. That's what we were doing. We were making that covenant. We took those pieces, we laid them with each other. Then God doesn't, that was our bilateral covenant that we made. But then God wanted to establish a unilateral covenant. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Now, that right there is key. You got a covenant with God. But doubt is going to try to come down and take up those pieces. Those, that doubt will come down on your head, try to take away God's word from over here. Your job is to drive them away. You got to drive them away with the word, though. Because God has already established the covenant. Now, your job is to drive them away. Drive doubt away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. Let me ask you a question. When you're sleeping, what are you doing? Sleeping. She said resting. When you're at rest, you're not doing anything. So what God did was say, you know what? That first covenant, you couldn't handle it. So the second covenant, I'm going to put you to sleep. Because that first covenant, we both walked through those pieces declaring what we're going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So God said, you know what? I'm going to put you to sleep. I want you to mess it up. So he put Abraham to sleep there. So Abraham could mess it up. Put him to sleep. Watch this. Go to verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp. And then what? It passed through those pieces. Yeah. What happened? Abraham asleep. So somebody had to come down and talk with them pieces. So God, he came down and he walked through those pieces. He kept Abraham asleep so Abraham won't mess it up. And then he established a unilateral covenant. And he said, you know what? I'm going to bind my covenant to myself. So you won't mess it up. So now we got covenant with God based solely upon what he did and not us. So if God made a covenant with you, why you won't walk in the covenant? That covenant is a covenant of blessing. Go to Deuteronomy, chapter 8. You know, it was never God's will for poverty to be in the earth. I said it again real slow. I know I talk fast. I want to say it real slow. It was never God's will for poverty to be in the earth. It's here because the greed of man. Because if you look at God's plan, which is the best plan ever, he will cancel debts. But this is the man going to cancel no debt. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. You there? It says, but thou shalt what? Remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. To do what? To establish his covenant. You mean God's covenant is part of wealth? Absolutely. Now, this is the key part right here. People think the wealth is for you. I'll say it again real slow. People think God giving you wealth for you. He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. So when God blesses us, it's our job to be a blessing. He gonna bless you so much, you get to keep something for yourself, but he wants you to be a blessing. That's why he established that covenant with you. He blessed you to be a blessing. So if you're born again and have a covenant with Almighty God, you're blessed. You're blessed. He blessed you, then he said, I'm going to exchange garments with you. He said, I'm going to give you now my righteousness. If you're born again, he said, I'm going to exchange now weaponry with you. I'm going to give you the armor of God. If you're born again, I'm going to exchange names with you. There is a name. And at that name, every knee going to bow. And every mouth will confess that he is Lord. To the glory of God. And if you're born again, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. That's why we have the covenant meal called communion. Because God is trying to reaffirm to you the covenant. To let you know that you're in covenant relationship with me. And there's benefits associated with the covenant. A permanent covenant, not a contract. No expiration date. Matter of fact, it's an eternal covenant. That covenant will go on after we leave this earth. We'll still be in covenant. Why? Because God cannot lie. He won't break that covenant. Now, our job, enforce the covenant. How do we enforce the covenant? How do we enforce the covenant? I asked you some questions earlier about contracts. And I know a lot of folks don't read their contract at my job. And unfortunately, I use it against them. Hope they don't hear that. Because I read their contract very well. So I know what they can do and what they can't do. So when they violate their contract, I'll pull out their contract and tell them what their contract says. You know why? Because reading's fundamental. So, not a contract, but a covenant. Until you go to the covenant and tell Satan what he can't do, he gonna keep on doing it. I'll say it again. Until you go in here and do like Jesus did, he said, it is written. And when he told Satan it was written, Satan had to leave him. Now my question to you, do you know what's written? If you don't know what's written, you open game. The Bible said the thief cometh. He coming. He may not come today, but he's coming. His number one objective is to kill, steal, and destroy. On the backside, God, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. But if you don't know the covenant, then guess what? The thief is going to come steal, kill, and destroy. But you got to invoke the covenant. You got to know this covenant better than he does know it. He knows it. Go to Psalms 91. I'm going to show you this. He knows the covenant. And sometimes he'll talk to you about the covenant if you ain't careful. And you might listen to him. And some things he may say is so similar to the covenant. But God told us in the covenant, don't add to the covenant. Don't add to my word. Don't take away from my word. Is that what he said? And also go to Matthew chapter 4. Now, if you got a Bible, you got a little doohickey there. You can put one there and put the other one there. Are you there? Psalms 91 first? Okay. Now put on your spiritual ears. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither any plague come near your dwelling. Opposite verse. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. You got that in your soul?
Yes.
Okay. Let's run to Matthew real quick. You there? Matthew. You got that, right, Matthew?
Yes.
Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. I'm pages turning. I got some Bible students in here. Praise the Lord. I can't tell about the electronic one version. Can I get someone to hit a beep, 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 beep? There we go. Beep, 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 beep. You there? Say amen.
Amen.
Now we read Psalms, and I'll read to you again. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. You got that?
Yes.
Now, this is funny to me because Satan is trying to tell Jesus what the scriptures say. And he said unto him, this is Satan talking, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. That sounded kind of similar to Psalms 91, didn't it? Didn't it? But if you're really keen, Beelzebub added something to that. 91 says, verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee in all thy ways. Matthew says, in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. What did he add? He added, lest at any time. God never said that. See, he wanted Christ to jump off the pinnacle and let an angel catch him. That's tempting God. And see, if you don't know the word, it sounds so similar, but that's what he'll do. He'll use scripture against you. If you don't know your covenant. If you know your covenant, he'll come right in your house and just tear you up. Do what he won't. Have his way with you. But according to the word, that if you put a blood covenant around your mantles, he can't enter in. In the Old Testament, when the death angel came in, God told him to kill an animal and put the blood on the mantles. And when that death angel saw that blood, guess what? It bypassed that home. If that was an animal, how much more the blood of Jesus can protect you? But you got to say something with your mouth about the blood. See, just carrying this Bible around all day long, Satan is not afraid of me. All I am is a Bible carrier. Kind of like a mail carrier. Now I can change it and be a deliverer. I can come bring deliverance to those around me, Or I can deliver myself with the word of God. If I know what the covenant says. That's why he said, you must study to show yourself approved. Rightly dividing the word. Jesus said, study the scriptures. So if he said study, we got to study. Now what is studying about? Okay, what is studying? He told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt do what? Meditate on it when? Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. How many ate breakfast this morning? Only a few. Okay, let me go back then. How many ate dinner last night? Okay, let me go back a little bit further. How many ate breakfast yesterday? Okay, so almost everybody ate today, or the day before. Everybody ate something, right? Okay. Now, I'm trying to figure out, how does Christians survive without eating? You need the spiritual food for nutrients and vitality and strength to get you through. Now, I don't know how many days you can go without eating food. Jesus went 40 days, but I can't even get close to 40 days. But I tell you this much. If you even attempt to go 40 days without eating this word, you're in trouble. You need to eat the word, let it meditate, and then regurgitate it back up to the enemy. So when he comes in, you tell him what he can and cannot do. But know today that you have a covenant with God that cannot be broken. That cannot be broken. Again, everybody who married, put their hand up. Put their hand up. Put their hand up. In your ceremony, unless you knew Wade, you probably altered this a little bit. Did you allow the pastor say, till death do us part? And you were in the covenant, right? At the altar? Okay. At the altar, you're in the covenant. Okay. If you said that at the altar of God, God said the same thing to you. This covenant cannot be broken until death occurs. And guess what? We never die. We just pass on. We go from here right to heaven. We never die. So this covenant will never be broken ever. He even told Abraham it's an everlasting covenant. If you're born again today, you have an everlasting, eternal covenant with Almighty God. Don't leave this world without getting all the benefits of the covenant. Now, I got a 401k plan at work, and I'm always reading. Where can I put it at? Where can I put it at? I'm reading everything they gave me. I want all the benefits. Everything I'm working for that company, I'm getting everything. So why would you walk with the holy God? Your daddy owned everything. A cattle on a thousand hill belonged to your daddy. And you walking around barely making it? Talk to your father. Talk to your father about what he promised you. He'll do it, and he's waiting to do it. All he's waiting for you to do is say, Father, your word says. The word says that the angels of God, they hearken to the voice of God. They can't do anything if you're quiet. And they can't do anything if you're murmuring and complaining. But they want to move on your behalf. From this day forward, have them move. Have them move out on your behalf. get in God's word and say, Lord, your covenant says this. And since you cannot lie, I believe it. I will not be moved by how I feel or what it looks like. You know why? Because our eyes lie to us sometimes. But the Bible says that have your spiritual eyes open to see the depths of the reality of God's word. Then you'll know the truth, what God has said. I'm going to close with this real quickly. I've been very sick in my life before. I mean, gravely ill. And the doctor, he wasn't lying. He gave me all the facts. This is what you have. This is what's going to happen. This is what you have. You can't do this. He wasn't lying. Those are facts. Right? Yes. And I always say, go get the facts. Yes. Right? Okay. When I got the facts, I had to line the facts up against the truth. And the truth always overrides the facts. Yes. And that's why I stand before you today. Because the truth set me free. Yes. Woo, the truth set me free. Now, we can look at the facts all day long. And if you continue to look at the facts, they'll get to you. But try focusing more on the truth than those facts. And I don't know how long it's going to take, but I guarantee you, the truth will wipe out every fact there may be. Stand up, we're going to close here. Covenant. Saints, you have a covenant. God already negotiated the terms of the agreement. It's our job now to enforce the will. When my dad passed away, he wrote out a will. So we knew what we were getting. No arguments, nothing. Just know what she was getting, know what I was getting. You know why? He wrote out a will. When Jesus left, he wrote out a will. So the more you read the will, you should know what you're getting. But if you never read the will, you're not going to know what you're getting, saints. Read the will. If you're here today, I gave you an example of a young boy named Mephibosheth.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. You've been listening to ALWC Associate Pastor Edward Anderson with a message titled, I Have Been Given a Covenant with God. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church, and our events calendar, and also other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, the site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you on our next broadcast. Until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life and that more abundantly.